I love hearing the children talk today. It seems like they're talking pretty loud today compared to most days. And I don't know if you guys can hear Jaron, but he left the building and I can still hear him. So, but it goes right along with the sermon, because if you check in your bulletin, I believe it says something about faith like a child. And I've got some prayers here that are children's prayers, and I'd like to read them. It says, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy, Joyce." "Dear God, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, I will give you anything you want except my money or my chess set, Raphael." "Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes, Mickey." "Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There is nothing good in there now, Jenny." "Dear God, I would like to live 900 years like the guys in the Bible. Love, Chris." "We read that Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school they said you did it, so I bet he stole your idea. Sincerely, Donna." "Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year, Peter." "Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let me be Jennifer Horton because I hate her, Denise." "Dear God, if you let the dinosaurs not extinct, we would not have a country. You did the right thing, Jonathan." "Dear God, I am an American. What are you?" "Dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions, Ruth." Diane, what do you think? You pretty good? "Dear God, I think about you sometimes even when I'm not praying, Elliot." "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother, Larry." The last one. "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only four people in our family, and I can never do it, Nan." If you want to open up your Bibles, then we'll turn to Matthew chapter 18, and we'll look at verses, we'll read verses 1 through 6 is what I have highlighted. The thing I love about those prayers is they're so innocent. They talk to God just like he's their father. And they think he's so cool. Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 1. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea.'" If you'd like to turn over the next book to Mark, chapter 10. Verses 13 through 16. "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them." I think it's very important to remember what these verses say. Matthew 18, 2 and 5. "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So there he's talking about the humbleness of a child. And in Mark 13 through 16, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And these are very, we've all read these in the Gospels. That's why we have pictures of Jesus with kids on his knees and gathered around. But I don't hear people talk a whole lot about working on their childlike heart. I don't think that we keep it in the forefront of our minds and what this really means. It's important to remember these verses because what Jesus is teaching about is not about kids so much as our personal relationship with God. When we look deeper at what it means to be a child in a relationship with their parent, we need to look at this because the heart of our relationship with God needs to be the same as it is with the way that our children have relationships with us when they're young. The greatest example for me is Tyler. Matthew 18:4, Jesus is explaining that a child's heart is humble. See, children are very dependent, aren't they? And Tyler, you know, they get to be about 2 or 1.5, 18 months, and they become little Mr. Independent. Tyler wants to hold his bottle, and he wants to do all these different things. But really, when you get right down to it, he's still very dependent. Isn't that right? Children are very dependent. And so that humbleness that Jesus is talking about, it's a very humble dependent. Like, they know they're dependent. They know that they need mom and dad, and yet they're very humble about it. And our kids need all of their needs provided for them. And not only that, but you ever notice that your child really trusts you, that you're going to provide that need for him, even if it's something as simple as getting them a drink, even when it's not exactly what they want? But a drink. They don't know some of the things that go on. They just trust that mommy and daddy can do it, don't they? See, Tyler doesn't know if we have money, and he doesn't know whether or not his clothes and his food are brand names or where they came from. But what he does know is that when he needs a drink, mom and dad get it for him, even though sometimes it's not what it's like, even though sometimes it's not what he would like to drink. He still knows that mommy and daddy would never give him anything that's bad for him, even though it may taste bad to him. He still drinks it when we make him because he knows that we would never harm him. He is humble in his need for mommy and daddy. This leads me to being trustworthy, having trust. The trust of a child is a very powerful witness. When your child is scared, where do they run to? I'll tell you, when we moved out here, Tyler became very insecure. If mommy and daddy left the room and he didn't know where you went, he would start to cry because he felt scared and alone. But where does your child go? He goes straight for your arms and you pick him up and you hold him. And then it's okay. And it doesn't matter what's going on. This is what I think is really cool because Tyler thinks I'm like Superman. It doesn't matter what's going on. He reaches for me and if I pick him up, it's going to be okay. He knows that daddy's going to hold him no matter what. When Tyler comes to mommy and daddy for comfort, it's because he knows and he feels the love that we have for him. We have a very close relationship, even though there's discipline in the relationship. Even though our child has timeouts, and every once in a while, he gets a spanking. He doesn't always get what he wants to eat. He doesn't always get what he wants to drink unless grandma is here. But he still knows that what we're going to give him is what he needs. And he knows that what we give him is out of love. And we show him it's out of love because even though we discipline, we hold him. We comfort him, touch his face real soft, tell him how much we love him. And because of that, Tyler has a very soft heart of a child. He comes in the morning, and he came out this morning, and he, "Hi, Dada, morning." And I picked him up, and I held him. I said, "Are you cuddly today?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I laid him down, and he gives me this little baby teeth smile, and he looks up at me and reached down and touched his face a little bit, and he just smiles at, "Yeah." Because he knows how much I love him, and he trusts me so much. A child is trusting in what their parent knows and can accomplish. I think this is a very big part that has to do with our relationship with God, because a child looks at mom and dad for what we can accomplish, and how many times in our adult faith have we failed because we knew too much? Isn't that the truth? How many times has God been leading us up a hill and we say, "That's too steep. That's too rocky." But a child says, "Okay, Daddy, because you know, I don't know." But we say, "Nope, I know, there's nothing up there. That hill, it's too steep, it's too rocky, I can't do it." But the only thing that that God knows that we don't know is he knows the view that's up there. There's a song by Cademan's Call. It says, I had to climb the rocks to see the mountain view. And that's what God wants us to do. He's going to lead us up hills in life, and it's going to be hard. And if you have that heart of a child, you're going to say, I trust you, Daddy. I know that you can do it. And you're here beside me so I can do it. There are so many things that Tyler will not do unless I am there beside him. And then there's some things that he will only do if I'm not there. And you know what I'm talking about. But there are things that Tyler will do, but he'll say, come on, Dad, I can do it with you. Like for a long time, it was go down to the basement. He was scared to go down in the basement. But if Daddy went down with him, if he knew I was down there, he'd go do whatever. It's that trust issue. He knows that if I'm there, he can do it. Have we stopped letting God lead us because the hill he wanted us to climb looked too big or rocky? But God knows the view that's at the top when we reach the summit, and that's why he wants you to go. Now, the most powerful thing that I feel in my relationship with Tyler is the way it makes me feel when he says he wants to be like Daddy. Doesn't God want us to desire to be like him? God, we are God's children, and so I think about Tyler, and we had Christmas this year, and Tyler, I think everybody had Christmas, but somebody gave Tyler a little gift, and it was about yay big, and he unwrapped it, and what it was this little toolbox. And it had a clear face on the front, and it had about 5 or 6 different tools, and it had some wrenches and hammers. They're all plastic, of course, but he looks at that, and he goes, oh, I'm just like Daddy. And you know, you parents, you know the way that makes you feel when your child gets so excited about being like Daddy. Oh, it just melted my heart. I felt so good. Even though those tools that were in Tyler's little deal aren't as powerful as mine, in his heart, he is just like me. Even though in our relationship with God, we don't have the power that God does, but our hearts are to desire to be just like him. And that's what the difference maker is when we become adults and we start learning too much. All of a sudden, we know all these things and we stop looking to God for guidance. But a child receives the kingdom of heaven knowing that you're my father, you're my daddy, you're who I want to be like, you're who I want to be with, and I trust you, and I love you. And I want to be just like you, no matter where you lead me, no matter where we go. Faith like a child. Faith? Anybody? Bueller? Okay. Faith like a child means excitement, doesn't it? Faith like a child means being able to be comforted in the hardest of times. It means trust. It means having high hopes. No matter what the facts are or we think we see, because we believe that God is bigger. We believe that no matter how high the hill is or what our gear is that we have to climb it, God is bigger and we can do it because he is there. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter who we become, let me rephrase that. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, and no matter who you become, God still loves you and he still wants you. And if you're a parent, you know that about your kids. That's my point. I've got a book here. It's called Abba's Child by Brennan Manning, and he also wrote Ragamuffin Gospel and a few other books. But there was a time in my youth, there was a time when being on fire for the Lord, I can't move anywhere now, so I'm going to have to stay right here. I'm sorry. But there was a time in my youth where my faith was that of a child, when I felt the presence of God was more real to me than the chair I am sitting on, when the word ricocheted like broken-backed lightning in every corner of my soul, when a storm of desire carried me to places I had never visited. And there have been other times when I identified it with the words of Mae West, I used to be Snow White, but I drifted. When the word was as stale as old ice cream and as bland as tame sausage. When the fire in my belly flickered and died. When I mistook dried up enthusiasm for gray-haired wisdom. When I dismissed useful idealism as being naive. When I preferred cheap slivers of glass to the pearl of great price. We go through different things in our relationship with God. There was a time when I could feel God in my soul, just like Brendan writes, like broken back lightning just ricocheting off of your soul, and you feel enveloped in the Holy Spirit, and you don't want to get off of that chair. You don't want to get off your knees ever, because you don't want that to leave. And that is when your heart is pure. That is when your heart is calling to God and with the deepest desires. God says, when you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And that is true. But how often do we seek God with our whole hearts? And how often is it that we wholeheartedly want to truly find God? Because we're adults and we know a lot of stuff. And we have a lot of stuff. And a lot of times, we like a lot of our stuff, don't we? That's very true. One thing that I had to learn, and when Brendan wrote this, when I read this, it just hit me so deep. There was a time when I mistook dried-up enthusiasm for gray-haired wisdom. How many times have I heard somebody shoot down something from a child or from a youth, an idea, because they said it was naive or something, because they're wiser. But no, they just are dried up. They don't have that enthusiasm, and they hide behind the age. I'm too old and mature to have the heart of a child. But I think as people like Rick Botman have taught us, you are never too old to have the heart of a child. And it is incredible. I think that's why Rick and I connect so much, is our hearts both, we're both just little kids. What we need to realize is that in our relationship with God, if you have kids, if you don't have kids yet, hopefully someday you will. And God can teach us in other ways, I am sure, but the way I learned was through having children. One thing that I learned the most about God and my relationship with my son is that I looked on my shoulder today, and there's some stuff on my shoulder right here. Now, when you go shake my hand, don't be looking at my shoulders, but what's that from? Babies. From your child. When your child is crying, when kids cry, stuff comes out of their face. But when your kid cries, do you send him away and say, go clean your face and then come back and I'll comfort you? No, you grab him up and you hold him, no matter how hard they're crying, no matter if there's blood or dirt or mud or what, you grab them. I don't care what I'm wearing, if my child needs comforted, I'm going to comfort him. And as adults, when did we decide that we have to clean ourselves up before we go to our Father? That's the heart of a child. No matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been on this world, no matter how much you've achieved and how much you haven't, God seeks your heart. Find the heart of a child. Reclaim your core from the world. The world has ideas. The world has dried up enthusiasm. The world has a way, and it grinds your hope and your faith and your spirit down until all you see are laws and what's realistic. So many times I've heard, I'm just being realistic. No, you're not. You're just not having any hope. The world says, don't get your hopes up. God says, get your hopes up in me. You can't live without hope. The world calls things foolish, but God says, a foolish heart for me is the heart of a child. I know that the closer my heart is that to life of my son's, the closer I am to God, and the closer I experience him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go this week, Lord, just write on our hearts and remind us, Lord, what it is, what it means to be like a child in our hearts. And the father figure that you are, that you desire us to be like, to come to you, and knowing that you are our comforter. Help us to put aside the things that we see the things that we think is knowledge. As Paul writes in Philippians, all things of this earth are rubbish compared to knowing Christ. And we know Christ so we can know you, Lord. Help us to have the heart of a child, Lord. Amen.